Remember, I told you this morning that one of the things that the Lord wanted to do was to share some of his heart tonight. And so yesterday he had me go back through some of the things that he's told me over the years, and he identified some things that he wanted me to share with you all tonight. And two or three of those are going to be really interesting. Part of it is because they were things that he was talking to me about, but I think what he's trying to do is to show what he would like to do in a person's life if given the opportunity, in terms of instructing and in terms of helping them mature. We know in John chapter 13 and John chapter 16, it says that the Holy Spirit is going to lead and guide us. We know that. And we also know from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, that the Word of God says that the Word is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished to all good works. What you're going to hear tonight is going to be some doctrine, you're going to hear some reproof, and you're also going to hear some correction. Okay, but it's all part of how the Lord has worked with me over the years, and he wanted me to share some of those things with you. Part of it is he wants to share his heart on some things, and the other part, he wants to show you how, if you will allow him, he will work with you to address some of the issues and some of the strongholds that may be in your life as well. Okay, not going to take long, but I won't add anything to it in terms of commentary or things like that. I'm just going to read what he asked me to read. Well, what he told me to read. This one is from 2009. John 6:63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And then this is what he said. Much has been said and written about how what you say can have an effect on your life, and yet many of my children still do not really understand how important what you say really is. Every word that you speak is spirit. Every word you speak is life. That spirit and that life will either be the life that comes from me, or it will be the life that does not come from me. The key thing is to understand that both contain life. My children are haphazard in the words they speak. They don't pay attention to what they say, and they don't pay attention to what they allow to be spoken into their lives. When you look at the life of my son and what you read in the gospel, he didn't waste words, and he used words that I wanted him to use. He spoke life all the time. He would not have been able to do all that I wanted him to do if he had not spoken life all the time. Your enemy understands the importance of words. He understands that words have life and they are a creative force. He understands that words are used to bring into existence what is not presently seen in the natural world. And that's why he works so hard at getting people to speak his words and not my words. And many in the body of Christ are cooperating with him every day. They are speaking his words and seeing his words manifest in their lives. The enemy is using a spiritual principle against the body of Christ that the body of Christ should be using against him. When you speak words that are not in agreement with my word, you are cooperating with the enemy. When you allow the enemy's words to become your words, then the things of the kingdom of heaven will be closed to you. All of the things that you see Jesus doing in the Gospels will not be part of your life as long as you speak the enemy's words. This is from 2008. The choices you make are what determines where you go with me. The choices you make are critical. Every choice, every thought has a role to play in where you go with me. You see, my son had to make a conscious choice to seek me. He had to make a conscious choice to be with me. Remember, on earth, my son was a man just like you. He had to make choices. He had to control his mind to discipline it to what he wanted to do and not what it wanted to do. And the same is true for you and all of the people who call themselves disciples of Jesus. They have to discipline themselves to make right choices. Now, on the surface, every choice may not seem that critical to you, but it is. Every decision you make, no matter how small or how insignificant it may seem, plays a role in how you choose to serve me. Right now, for example, and this is about Barry, you chose not to go downstairs but to return to your computer, and that's why I said thank you for staying. See how simple that choice was. If you had made the choice to continue heading downstairs, I never would have had a chance to instruct you like I'm doing right now. My word is filled with example after example of people making choices that took them away from me. My word is filled with examples of people making decisions that brought them into my presence in a way that changed not only their lives, but the lives of the people they touched. Small decisions can produce huge spiritual benefits. Pay attention to the choices you make. See them from a heavenly perspective. Barry, when you do this, you will make different choices, I promise you. You will decide to spend more time with me and less time with the PlayStation. I told you that some of this stuff is going to be hitting, but he wanted me to share it. Here is another one. And this one is from 2006. It was after I had taught a course in the Bible college. Why do you insist on talking about subjects in which you have not been fully instructed? A great example was the first and the last comments that you made last night. You are not fully versed on its meaning, and yet you told the students what it meant. You are handling the Word of God deceitfully in this case. As a teacher, you cannot ever do that. Remember, pride is what caused Lucifer's downfall. If you'll allow me, I will teach you these things. But don't get ahead of me by interpreting Scripture in a way that I don't agree. That was one of those times where he reproved and corrected me. This is from 2006. When I find a heart that's obedient, I thrill at the opportunity to bless it. Obedience is the key to everything I have for you in the realm of the Spirit. Because you see, your obedience leads to an increasing level of faith. And the more you respond to me out of obedience, the more you will trust me, and the more your faith will grow. And pretty soon you'll be like that leaf, flowing in more and more of me. So I encourage you to listen and obey. See the fruit that will result in your life as you learn to walk more and more with me. The journey to more and more grace is shorter than you think, but it depends on your listening and obeying. I need men and women who will act when I give them direction. I need men and women who will not hesitate when I give instruction. And that's what's growing and growing in faith means. You will be obedient to the point of being unconscious about it. Your obedience will become natural. It will almost be like breathing. And that's what I need from my people. I need that type of obedience. For you see, that type of obedience my son displayed. He made himself available to me for whatever I needed in the world. And you can do the same thing if you choose to do so. My son was willingly obedient to me. You have to be willingly obedient also. And when you get to that place, my, oh my, the kingdom of darkness will tremble. This was from 2006 at a morning service here. Everything you experience is based on where you are in your faith. Your faith walk demonstrates the relationship you have with me. Where your faith walk is, where I can meet you. I want to meet you at the place where more and more of my grace is being touched by your faith. So come to me, seek my face. I will meet you. I will meet you. Then later on he said, I am only bound by my word, which has no limits. When you speak my word, you remove the limits Satan has placed on your life. When you remove the limits with my word, then what he's holding back will be released in your life. Again from 2006. In times of trial, I'm always there for you. You see, when you triumph over your trials, that brings me glory. When you triumph over disease, sickness, or anything that hinders your life, hinders your walk with me, that brings me glory. When I receive glory, the entire kingdom of darkness quakes because they are reminded once again that I am all-powerful and that I have a people who trust me to fulfill my word in their lives. So don't be afraid of trials. Don't run from them. Stand fast in them and know, you're going to like this, and know that when you come out of them victorious, you have come out of them to my glory. This is another one of those personal ones that he wanted me to share. This is from December of 2006. Why do I feel like I'm in a dry place right now? That was my question to the Holy Spirit. Because you've lost your focus. You've taken your eyes off of me. And no, you're not at an impasse. You're in a place where the energy to do what you know you should be doing is not there. You're in a place where the desire to do what you should be doing is there, but it is not as strong as the flesh. Another statement that I made. It seems like I'm not making any progress toward fulfilling my call. I'm not even spending time in the Word like I used to. Then what the Holy Spirit said, it's called being distracted. And that is how Satan works in your life and in the lives of others, through distractions. Think about the things and issues that you have faced recently. They're all designed to distract you from my presence. But you determine whether or not you stay distracted. You determine whether or not you get distracted. Walking the path I've set before you is not easy. Loved ones will come against you. Your emotions will make you feel out of sorts. But know this, my grace is sufficient, just like it was for the Apostle Paul. Whatever you need to conquer this area in your life, you will find it in my grace. This one is from 2007. Watching television has become one of Satan's greatest tools for destroying the lives of my people. Every day they are bombarded with thoughts and images that have little to do with my word. And the more they subject themselves to these thoughts and images, the farther away from me they travel. So I ask the question, why do you use the word travel? He says, the word travel describes your journey, either toward me or away from me. The more your thoughts are my thoughts, the more your travels will bring you toward me and the things I desire for you. Your enemy wants you to abandon your journey, and the best way he does that is by getting you off the path that leads to me and my presence. Television has distracted so many of my people away from me, and the longer they are distracted, the more deeply the enemy pulls them into his world and into his way of thinking. The television is not your enemy, but you have to choose what you will allow your television to feed you. You can also choose not to let it feed you anything. You can choose my presence and my banquet table. You could choose spiritual nourishment that will enable you to stop the distractions of the enemy. I hope this is blessing you. This is from 2009, Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 15. Only the Lord had a delight in thy fathers to love them, and he chose their seed after them, even you above all people, as it is this day. And that word delight means to cling, to join to. The passage warms our hearts, but it shook the Hebrew world. They heard this, the Lord binds himself to his people. Hasak, H-A-S-A-Q, speaks of a tethered love, a love attached to something or someone. And then this is what the Lord said. My love binds me to those who choose me. My love binds me to those who walk with me. When I am bound to you, I give you all that I have to offer. I give you all of my glory and anointing that you will need to fulfill what I have called you to do. I go all the way with my people. I go with them into every battle. I go with them into every confrontation with the enemy. I go with them into every physical situation they face. I go with them. I never allow those who are bound to me to go anywhere alone. If I go with you, then you should never feel desperate, uptight, stressed, or overwhelmed. I am bigger than any situation you could ever face. And when I'm with you, you are bigger than any situation you could ever face, saith the Lord. So, Barry, what are the situations that you are facing? I have told you that I am bigger than those situations. Do you believe me? Do you trust me to know what I'm talking about? And then I put in a little parenthesis, ouch. I am bound to you, Barry, because you chose me by accepting my son. I am bound to you, Barry, because I love you and I do know that you love me. Let me loose in your life. Let my glory and anointing flow in your life. Let me fulfill the call I placed in your life. Let me show you what it means to be bound by my love. Now, he's talking to Barry, but you can just put your name in the place of Barry, and it would be the same thing. This is for 2009. My dad died in November of 2008 from cancer. And so I asked the Lord, I said, why is cancer accepted as terminal? When people talk about it, they talk about it as if it's a given, i.e., once you get cancer, that's it, you're going to die. Then the Lord said, the heart of man is a fragile thing. It believes what the mind feeds it over and over again. In this country, you are told again and again that cancer is a death warrant. You are told that cancer means death. As the heart gets conditioned by repeated messages like this, it becomes virtually impossible for it to believe that cancer doesn't mean death. But the enemy of the soul is very subtle. He's very skilled in using logic to destroy the soul. When you hear, read, or see the same thing again and again, why would you believe that it's not that way? Why would you believe something different? When the research says X percentage of people survive this form of cancer, but practically no one survives this cancer, the heart believes it. The heart doesn't question. The heart soaks in and believes. If cancer is ever going to become something that people see as being defeated, being under the feet of Jesus, a different mindset must happen. A mind that is constantly bombarded with my word is the only mind that will see a way out when cancer strikes. And I'm going to read that again. A mind that is constantly bombarded with my word is the only mind that will see a way out when cancer strikes. A mind that can see a way out will guard what the heart soaks in, because what the heart soaks in, it produces. When you realize that your life is eternal and that the body is temporal, you think differently about the situations and circumstances you encounter. When you see yourself as eternal, living with me for all eternity, you see that this life is such a small piece of your life. Your life is hid in me, and cancer is not part of that life. The very thoughts of cancer are those that the enemy feeds into your mind. They are not the thoughts that come from the throne room of the Father. For me, cancer is no different than a common cold. For me, cancer can be healed just as easily as a headache. For you see, I have conquered death, and when I conquered death, that meant life for all who would accept me. So for me, cancer poses no more of an issue than any other disease. I am your healer. My stripes pay the debt for any and all physical disease and ailments you may ever face. That is the message that you repeat to yourself day after day after day. That is the message that you bombard your soul with until your heart soaks it in. For with the heart, man believeth. We're almost to the end. This one is from this year. And I gave this one a title, Eternal Death. Eternal death is a choice. When Adam rebelled against me, he made a conscious choice, a deliberate decision. He knew the consequences of his decision before he made it. He knew that to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil would mean his spiritual and physical death. And yet, he made that choice anyway. So it is today. No one has ever or will ever go to hell and the lake of fire without making a conscious and deliberate decision to do so. Just as a person must choose to accept my son's offer of eternal life, so must a person reject it. Rejecting my son's offer of eternal life means the person consciously and deliberately accepts eternal death. My desire is for all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. That's my desire. For this to happen, everyone must have an opportunity to hear the message of salvation. If they don't have the opportunity, how can I say in my word, this is what I desire? If everyone does not have a chance to accept or reject my son, how can I say he had a choice? No one will ever enter heaven or hell and the lake of fire without making a choice. What saddens me is that those who choose eternal death don't realize that is what they are doing. They honestly believe they will spend eternity with me. They won't. And when they stand before me in judgment, it will break my heart to tell them that they are not welcomed into my kingdom. Remember, I talked about my daughter this morning. This one is from 2006. It was one of those mornings where I was asking the Holy Spirit a lot of questions. One of those questions, Holy Spirit, what can I do to help Candace? He said, remember the example that Gary Carpenter gave about how he will confess the word over his daughters. That's what you need to do every day. Candace is not lost. She belongs to me. But Satan has her in his grips right now. You need to do what Gary did to see the grips loosen. Be diligent in your prayers for Candace. Don't slack off. You know I have a call on her life. I need for her to fulfill her call. I read this, and this is the only one I'm going to comment on. I read this one after Candace died. And I think I cried for a long, long time. Because the Lord told me 6 years before what I could do to help my baby girl. And I didn't do it. I did not do it. I would confess the word over her off and on, but I was not diligent in doing what God had told me to do. Had I done what God told me to do, Candace's life would probably have been different. And I must admit, there's still times when I read this, I cry, because I know that had I done what the Lord had instructed me to do, things would have been different. But I also know that the enemy knows what the Lord told me to do. And so the way he operates, he's going to continue to come back to bear. You didn't do what you're supposed to. You didn't do what you're supposed to. You didn't do it in order to try to just make my life miserable. But I know God has already forgiven me. Candace has already forgiven me. I praise you, Lord. It's a difficult thing, ladies and gentlemen. When you ask the Lord a question, he gives you an answer, and you don't fully follow the instructions, and then you see what happens. Always obey God. Follow what he tells you to do. Praise God. This is the last one, and it's the longest of all of them. And this is from March 2007. It says, hear what the Spirit of the Lord would say. I have called you out to do a work for me, and I have not called you by chance. Now, he's talking to all of us, ladies and gentlemen, all of us. I purpose in my heart to call you for this work. So know that the work I have called you for is yours to do. No one else can do it. So be about doing my work. Do what I have called you to do and know within your heart that you are doing the will of your Father. For there are many who want to see the manifestations of my power. They long to see the things that they have read about in Scripture come to pass today. But what they fail to realize is that my power is available right now. It's at their fingertips. But too many of my people have not put themselves between me and the healing power that is at their fingertips. They have not been willing to put the flesh in its place. They continue to give it preeminence in their lives. And as long as they are governed more by the flesh than the spirit, they will continue in their longing for the manifestations of power. Just like he desired to sift the disciples as wheat, Satan desires to sift all of my people as wheat. He wants them neutralized to the point that they are not living out their callings in their lives. He wants them focused on their emotions and on the things that are happening in the natural. When you allow Satan to dictate your relationship with me, you are allowing him to rob your blessings now and rewards in eternity. When he does that, he has sifted you. There has never been a time in history, in the history of the world, like the time you live in. The realization of the word going over the world is as close as your next breath. The reality of my word permeating the depths of Satan's domain brings me much joy. You cannot judge what's happening in the realm of the spirit by what you see in the natural. This is where Satan deceives my people every day. But in the realm of the spirit, yes, that is where the true progress in my word and my will are taking place. And as people continue to press into me, more and more of what is happening in the realm of the spirit will be manifested in the natural. So be alert, be aware. You will hear about my power and my grace in places you thought impossible. But oh, it's coming. It's coming. When you come to me with believing, faith, you come to me in a manner in which I desire for you to come. But when you come to me in faith, you are coming to the one who has the ability and the willingness to respond to your acts of faith. And know this for sure, I do respond to faith. Faith is what moves me to action. Faith is what gives me entry into the realm of the natural to perform my will. Without your faith, my will does not come into manifestation in this world. Without faith, my people will not see the deliverance that my son paid the price for them to see. So continue to teach and build on the foundation of faith so that I can begin to build, to bring more of my will into manifestation. Remember, Jesus said that you're going to hear about wars and rumors of wars, but the end is not yet. The war is in full progress in the realm of the spirit. The war has been raging for many, many centuries, and only a few of my people have grasped this and understand the significance of what is happening. Every day, Satan is fighting to keep people from spending eternity with me, and in some places, he's winning skirmishes, not the war. But every skirmish he wins breaks my heart. Every skirmish he wins means one less person who will spend eternity with me. It is my will that he lose each skirmish. But until I have enough people ready to engage him in battle, I will continue to lose people in these skirmishes. But know this, in the days ahead, he will win fewer and fewer skirmishes. My people will rise up and take the field of combat and do much damage to his territory, and they will bring back the spoils of war, souls. So be encouraged. Heaven is waiting for people who are willing to stand for me. Heaven is waiting for people who are willing to turn to me with everything they have. Heaven is waiting for the people of God to take back the territory that is part of their inheritance. And heaven will wait until people begin to access the power that's available to them to take the land. The land belongs to them, but it is currently occupied by the enemy. What is in the land? Healing is in the land. Prosperity is in the land. Peace is in the land. Everything I have promised to you in my word is in the land. Just like the children of Israel, you must possess the land. You must be willing to fight for the land. You must be willing to do what I tell you to do to occupy the land. The more of the land you occupy, the more of my blessings you will see manifested in your life. I want you to occupy all of the land. Do you hear me? All of it. My son died for you, that you could have all the land. So rise up, be strong, be encouraged. Your enemy has been defeated. Go in and possess the land. Go in and possess your inheritance. Go in and enjoy the spoils of victory that my son has won for you. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't fully understand the purpose that the Lord had for me sharing some of the things tonight. But that's not important. The only important thing is for me to do what he asked me to do. And that's what I have done. Amen. Everyone, please stand.